In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us to stop judging and stop condemning. And yet at the same time, we look at the first reading and we hear all these things that the prophet Daniel is saying, and there are some pretty harsh things. And so which is it? When we're looking at our own selves, we need to judge. And in some cases, we need to condemn. We've sinned. That's precisely the point that Daniel is making. The people are in exile because of their sins, because they had turned against God. So he's simply just acknowledging the objective truth. Where we get ourselves into trouble with the judging is the subjective part. We try to impute motives. We try to suggest that this person is like this or that. We don't know that. We can and must make judgments about actions. We can say what this person is doing is wrong. We don't know why they're doing it. That's where the judgment part comes in. That's the part that we can't do. But boy, do we like to do it. And it's a whole lot easier for us, so it seems, to judge others rather than ourselves, to condemn everybody else rather than ourselves. That's where there's trouble. And so we need to acknowledge the things that are going on. And we even need to be able to look at the situation in our own country. Because remember, as I've told you before, there are only two nations that have been consecrated to God from their inception, and that is Israel and the United States of America. And therefore, what we're seeing is the same exact pattern. Everything as it happened in Israel, and we can read it in the Old Testament, and then we just put the United States right in there, and we're following the exact same pattern. The problem is, God has no place to send us into exile. I mean, Israel was basically about the size of New Hampshire. So I guess if the people in New Hampshire messed up, they could get sent into New York or into Maine or something like that. Well, this is the whole country. This isn't a small group within the country that's messed up. This is the whole mess. And of course, we're in the place that's the worst. As I've told you, this is the number one spot in the country for the occult. Number one, not exactly something to be proud of. So we look at it and we say, okay, Daniel's saying, look, we've sinned, we've been wicked, we've done evil, we've rebelled and departed from the commandments and your laws. We're shamefaced. How many politicians in America do you see that are shamefaced? Not many. They're rejoicing in the evil. They think that this is great. Look at this despicable state that we're living in. We become, what do they call it? An abortion destination state. Come here to kill your baby. We become a destination state for people who want to have, for boys that want to become girls and girls that want to be boys. We're advertising it. We're flaunting it. We're not shamefaced. We're rejoicing in evil. I mean, we have gone off the high dive into the deep end, and we're thinking we're doing something great. Not people like you and me, but these unfortunate souls that are down there at the state capitol. The state is in critical condition. And how many people are even acknowledging it? It's tragic what's going on. And yet what we have to be able to do is to look at it, acknowledge the evil. We must acknowledge the evil. But then we have to do what our Lord told us. We have to be merciful. Not merciful in the sense of saying, oh, it's okay, because it's not okay. Merciful in the sense that we recognize there are lots and lots of people who have been caught up in the emotional trash. If you listen to all these people, Never once do they present a logical argument. They can't, because there's nothing logical about it. It's all emotion. And people get caught up in the emotions, like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that wouldn't be very nice. Oh, that poor person, look at their situation. And because they get caught up in the emotions, they just get caught up in the whole tide of the mess that's going on. That's the part we have to be able to look at and say, it's not then for us to judge the individual. Yes, we can judge the actions, and we must. We can't judge the person. We need to be merciful toward the individual. We need to pray for people. And that's the part that we have to look at. That's even Daniel's recognizing that. You know, he says, you know, yeah, we've rebelled against you. We paid no heed to your commands. You know, we haven't lived by the law. We haven't listened to your servants, the prophets. In our day, it's not even prophets. We have our blessed Lord. And then he sent his mom. He's not just sending prophets. He's sending his own mother. Have we listened? No. Even within the church, if you really look at what's going on, they don't want you to hear about it. In fact, just look at what's going on with Akita. They are trying absolutely everything in their power to bury it and make it look like it never happened. All the more reason why you need to go and read it. It's very short, to the point, and Our Lady body slams the whole thing. Just why they don't want you to know about it. So are we listening to the prophets that God is sending? His own son? This is where you and I have a real opportunity to be able to do exactly, again, what our Lord was talking about. If we are merciful to others, if we forgive, if we are truly acting as children of our Heavenly Father, doing what we're supposed to do, then when he talks about good measure packed together, shaken down, overflowing, be poured into your lap, that's what he's going to be doing. And what a wonderful opportunity we have, because of our circumstances, to be able to really grow in virtue this way. If everybody around us was living good and holy lives and so on, we could just go along with it. And it really wouldn't bring about that much virtue. We're not living in that situation. And so we have to swim upstream. We have to choose to do it God's way when most everything around us is not God's way. And that is a phenomenal opportunity for us to grow in virtue, to be able to show ourselves children of God, to be a light in the midst of the darkness. That's what the Lord would be looking for from us. So again, we can't look at it and say, well, but everybody else is doing this, so I guess I don't have to. It's like, no, we know what Jesus taught. We know what the truth is. And we have to live it, even if a lot of people around us aren't. And in a situation like ours, to be merciful and forgiving is really, really hard. If there were good people who make mistakes and they apologize for them, oh, it's real easy to be forgiving and merciful. When we're living in a situation where they're rejoicing in evil, it makes it really hard. But if we don't, if we're not forgiving, if we're not merciful, then we're going to be eaten up by the anger and by all the garbage inside. So we need to pray, and we need to seek God's will, because that's what we have to bring into the world. And again, what a glorious opportunity. So, as I've mentioned many times before, the darker things become, the more bright even the dullest light shines. So even if we're kind of dim, even if we're not great saints, even if we're not lighting up the room when we walk in because we're so holy, even if we've got just a little bit of light shining in the darkness that we've got right now, that light's going to seem pretty bright. So let your light shine. Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Forgive so that you will be forgiven. Don't judge, don't condemn. Condemn the actions, judge the actions, yes, but not the people. That's the part where we have to make the distinction so that we can be merciful. Only God is the judge. He's alone knows what's in the heart and the soul of the person. We don't, except our own. And so pray for them. Be merciful. Be forgiving. You'll be at peace. But more than that, you have the opportunity through this to become a saint.